Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to For Your Benefit. Well, we're here with about 8, 9, 10 hours left in the open season, and we have two folks joining us this morning. First would be Colleen Murphy, President and CEO of Asperity. I'm going to screw this up, Colleen. Decision Solutions, but I know you're going to fix that. And the second half of the show will be Al Schubert, VP of VSP. I believe it's just Vision. Boy,
VSP is Vision.
Okay, and
he'll correct us if they also sell dental, but I believe it. I know for sure it's Vision.
And for those of you that don't recognize the voice, that was John Elliott. And John Elliott is a retired federal benefits strategist, fellow seminar presenter, and he's here because I don't understand this open season stuff. Colleen, you there? Colleen?
She's in Chicago, isn't she?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
All right. Good morning, Colleen.
But you're actually in Chicago, am I right?
Yes, I am, where it's bitter cold.
Judging from the area code.
But aren't you close to the Chicagoan, John?
That's my hometown.
Okay.
But I left 30 years ago.
Anyway, Colleen, I'm sure we're not here to talk about the weather and whatnot. It's good that we can't keep meeting like this once a year.
I'm going to need to make sure I'm in Washington, D.C. for this interview, Bob.
Okay. All right. Probably it's the tropics compared to what you got. But
yes, it is.
In any case, you were kind enough to send us a really nice outline and first talking point. Yeah, today's the last day of the season. What's important for the Fed that hasn't pushed the button yet or doesn't want to push the button but should? And how can you help them?
Well, today, federal employees who still have today to evaluate their health care options and make an informed choice. And the reason it's important for federal employees this year to really take a look at their health care coverage is there are three reasons, Bob. The first is the health plans made a lot of changes this year. Some plans increased their costs. Some actually decreased their costs. But there were a lot of plan design and service area changes. So the plan that you are in today may not exactly be the plan that you're in come January 1 if you don't take a look at it carefully. Okay. Secondly, the president has proposed wage freezes, okay, for federal employees. And there's an opportunity today to take a look at other health care alternatives. The average federal employee is eligible for 20 medical plan options. So there's an opportunity to take a look at other options that may be less expensive. And when I say less expensive, I mean both premium and out-of-pocket expenses and mitigate the financial effect of that proposed wage freeze. And then I think the third thing that's important for federal employees is several of the health reform initiatives go into effect on January 1, the most important of which is the ability to cover children to the age of 26. Okay, so if you've got a child who doesn't have health insurance through his or her employer or may not be able to have found a job yet, there's an opportunity for the first time to cover that child in a way that hasn't happened in the past.
Yeah. And it's so important if you're in a self-only plan and you have a child that can be covered up to 26 to getting a family plan before the end of the day.
That's correct. Yeah. So it's not only switching from single to family, but it's also making sure that your health plan service area covers that child because he or she may not necessarily live with you. They may live in another service area. So it's important to be sure that you're either covered by a national plan or a regional plan that has adequate service area coverage.
Yeah, and if you're already in a family plan, you have to notify the carrier. I know my plan, you could download a form and mail it in to reinstate your kid.
That's correct. There's actually a wonderful OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, on its insurer, opm.gov/insurer, has something called Fast Facts. and it's a one-page summary of all of the nuances around adding that child, okay? And it's just a terrific one-place reference page for anybody who's thinking about doing that. But I think the other thing that you asked, Bob, is what can people do today? And I say spend 10 minutes going to, obviously I'm biased, PlanSmartChoice.com is a free website to help federal employees evaluate their medical options and make an informed healthcare choice.
Colleen, could you do that slowly for me so I can
absolutely
write it down?
Absolutely. The website is www.plansmartchoice.com.
And this would be a smart choice on their part, correct?
That is correct. And, you know, the average Plan Smart Choice user spends about 10 minutes using different tools to help them select medical, and if they're interested in dental and vision coverage, as well as participation in the flexible spending account. We've had about 80,000 federal employees already use the tools during this open season. Today's actually our second busiest day. So if you've got 10 minutes, you know, you've got until the end of the day. And, you know, during this holiday shopping season, I think about how much time some of us have spent online shopping for that flat screen TV or the e-reader or iPad or, you know, whatever your technology of choice is. And, you know, chances are you've spent more than 10 minutes shopping for one of those items. It's really more important and more expensive to spend 10 minutes shopping online for your health care coverage.
And as you mentioned, there's been a wage freeze, so this is a way to partially make up for that, or maybe wholly make up for that.
That's absolutely right. You know, one of the examples I've given is, you know, for somebody who's making $50,000 a year, you know, they're going to be out close to $1,000 in terms of pay raise. There's an opportunity to use the medical cost calculator to know what your total health care costs are going to be for all of the plans that you're eligible for. Because, again, it's not just about premium, Bob. I think people get so focused on what's my monthly premium. And it really can be, you know, the plan with the lowest premium could end up being the most expensive for you when you take into account what your usage of medical services are going to be as well as your out-of-pocket expenses. And the medical cost calculator allows you to estimate what each member of the family is going to use for medical services, and then it calculates for you your total costs, again, both out-of-pocket and premium, for each of the plans that you're eligible for. And chances are you can find a plan that's going to save you, you know, $1,000 a year, or that's, what, $83 a month. Chances are you're going to find a plan that will allow you to generate those savings. And then, you know, before you make that change, you know, drill down into the details and make sure you do a side-by-side comparison so that you're comfortable with the provider network or you're comfortable with the level of benefits. You know, you don't necessarily, if you've got certain medical conditions, you want to sort of make sure you drill deep and make sure you understand what that, you know, that new plan might offer you.
And let me make an accountant comment here. If one receives a salary increase, they don't really get all that money because they have to pay taxes on it. And let's say, like you say, the salary increase was $2,000, probably a fourth of it. Anyway, we go to taxes, so you really, it's $1,500. But if you're saving money on a premium basis, that's a dollar for dollar savings.
Correct. That's correct.
And so sometimes people say, well, I can't save that much. And then the other thing is, some people are just flat out computer phobic. So I don't think that's our target market here because they won't turn the thing on. But some people are computer shy. So how does one use your system? And I've fooled around with it I probably fit into that second category, believe it or not. And it was pretty easy. But why don't you walk the folks through what they might be looking at or what they probably should know before they get on the site?
Well, first of all, so again, go to www.plansmartchoice.com. There are also links to the site, Bob, from OPM's insure.gov site, as well as many of the agencies and their enrollment sites have links to the site as well. The first thing that a new user is going to have to do is register to use the site. And that's a three-step process, and it really requires you, the most important thing is to identify what your zip code is, because the zip code generates what plans, medical plans, you're eligible for. If you live in Washington, D.C., you're going to be, you know, eligible for one set of plans, but if you live in Chicago, it's going to be another set of plans, okay? And it asks you a few other questions, like what agency do you work for, because there are some agencies that have different plan offerings and different premiums. You're going to get a quick email back that allows you then to get into the tools, and you land on something called the Decision Center. And there you're going to see different tools to help you select a medical plan. You're going to see comparisons for dental and vision coverage, and you're going to see a tool to help you estimate how much to set aside in your flexible spending account or, if appropriate, your health savings account. The tools actually guide you through one of, you know, we recommend that people do the medical cost calculator first. And there you can estimate, gives you different medical services. You know, how many times are you going to go to a specialist or a primary care physician? How many prescription drugs do you take? Are those drugs generic or brand? Are you going to have a surgery? Are you going to need to be hospitalized? And it takes you through that for each member of your family, so yourself, your spouse or partner, if you've got kids. And it then will show you or calculate for you what your total healthcare costs are going to be. And that's actually one of our most popular tools. It takes, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to do. We also have something called the preference tool that takes you through a series of trade-offs. Okay, so let me give you a perfect example. Which medical plan would you prefer? The plan that costs $100 a month in monthly premium but has an overall satisfaction rating of 50%. So only 50% of the federal employees enrolled in that plan were satisfied with it. Versus alternative B, a plan that costs $500 a month, but 90% of the federal employees enrolled in that plan were satisfied with it.
Yeah, I know. I'm always willing to pay more for good customer service, regardless of what the product is, but
well,
including health plans.
Well, and if you're at an income level where you can afford $500 a month, absolutely, okay? There's some people who may not be at an income level where they could afford that, so they've got to make, you know, a tough choice. What we also know is that anybody who's had a nightmare experience with a health plan recently, chances are is going to drill down into that satisfaction level and make sure that they're enrolling in a plan that has a high degree of satisfaction. We also have a terrific comparison where you can choose, you know, if you're in D.C. and you're eligible for 20 or 25 medical plans, what you might want to do is a side-by-side comparison of the plan that you're currently in against the plan that's maybe the least expensive for you or the one that best fits your needs, maybe the one that your friend is in is very happy with. It allows you to sort of to do a side-by-side comparison, print that off, take a look at it in a little bit more detail. The dental and vision comparisons are very popular because those are, you know, very popular supplemental benefits for employees. Let me spend a few minutes on the savings account estimator. You know, only about 14% of federal employees enroll in the healthcare spending account, okay? And that's, if you're an accountant, Bob, I didn't know that. This is an opportunity to set aside money in a tax-free account and access it throughout the course of the year for your out-of-pocket expenses. The average federal employee saved, who participated in the healthcare spending account, saved $561 last year. Okay, on average, they set aside about $2,000. And to use your example, where the tax rate's maybe about 25%, you're going to save about, you know, 25% of that in savings. So that's $561. And so it reduces most federal employees' healthcare costs, total healthcare costs, by about 15%. So, you know, one of the things that we know is Plan Smart Choice users, about half of them participate in the healthcare spending account, which is terrific. They have more information with which to know how much money to set aside. And they also, there's this weird use it or lose it feature in flexible spending accounts. So if you don't use that money at the end of the year, you lose it. And by doing the medical cost calculator and that savings account estimator, you're really confident about how much money to set aside. So we just see more and more people using it. So that's a great tool to help people.
How about Medicare? Do you help people decide whether to take Part B Medicare, which is a question I get as much as
correct.
I get any single question,
yes.
is when I become 65, should I or should I not take Part B? That's
we do not help people with that particular answer.
Because it's so hard to answer.
Probably. It is hard. It's a very personal choice.
Yes.
For anyone who is a Medicare-eligible retiree of the federal government, we recommend that they go to the Medicare.gov site. They should also contact their HR office, which will have great information about the coordination of benefits between Medicare and what the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program provides. Okay, there's a level of complexity, and it is a little bit overwhelming. But the Medicare.gov site has really right now the best information around comparing Medicare plans. If you're under 65, you can still use the Plan Smart Choice site, and it can still provide you with terrific information if you're under 65 and retired, because those you're not eligible for Medicare yet.
Another comment, we certainly do broadcast from D.C., and we are, you know, locally you can listen, but anybody can listen, country or worldwide, starting at about 2 Eastern time this afternoon. It's on our website. So I know we reach out well beyond the Beltway to a lot of other people, so when we're talking, sometimes we get talking about D.C., but in fact, I know we have a California group that listens, and I know we got a group in the Midwest, and I know we have a group in the South, and so your program could handle them as easily as they could somebody in D.C., correct?
Absolutely. We've had federal employees from all 50 states use the tools this open season, as well as, and we're very proud to say this, 106 countries, six continents. We're still waiting for that user from Antarctica. So I'm still waiting. So if somebody comes through today, I'm going to be very happy. But obviously, most of the users are in the United States. You mentioned California. It's actually the second largest group of users. There are a lot of plan design changes going on in California in terms of the plans that are offered and their benefits and premiums. So there's clearly folks are shopping for health care coverage in California. But, yes, users in all 50 states, Bob, and we are very proud to be able to help those federal employees who are located overseas as well.
Another comment, if anybody wants to talk to Colleen, which I'm sure they do, 202-465-3080. That's going to get her live now. Beyond that, is there a website they can go, you or your staff, and could they ask questions beyond looking at the screen?
There is. There is a user support function online within the site. So if anyone has a question or they're having difficulties with the site, our team turns those answers around right away.
Great. And, Colleen, we probably didn't say, or at least I don't remember us saying, the cost to do this is how much?
It's free. It's
that's
free
what
for
I thought.
All federal employees. And, you know, we make it available free to their federal agencies so that they can offer it to their employees for free. Correct.
Yeah, that's awfully nice.
Well, it's important to do.
Yeah, there are a lot of federal employees out there who think if it isn't free, you paid too much for it.
Colleen, after today, is the site still available for somebody who said, gee, I missed it, but I'm not going to make the same mistake twice, and I'll do a little homework in advance of the next open season? Of course,
well,
it's a year away.
That's a great question, Bob. Let me say a couple of things. One, the site is available free throughout the course of the year. And it's very well used by new hires. You know, the federal government is one of those organizations that's hiring. And we get a couple of hundred federal employees a day using the site throughout the course of the year. And those are either new hires, the federal agencies and their HR departments do a great job in new hire orientation of letting federal employees, you know, new employees know about the site, because really the healthcare benefits offered through the federal government are so terrific but it's really overwhelming when you're a new person to sort of figure all of that out. There are other qualified status changes that might affect you during the year. You know, you might have moved, you might have gotten married, you might have had a child. You know, there are different things that allow you to switch plans during the year. So it's available to those employees as well. Let me also say one other thing. We rolled out something this year called Quick Results. So we went out to the 65,000 federal employees who used the tools during last open season and sort of throughout the year, and we had actually saved their profiles, you know, their preference tool profiles, their medical cost calculator profiles, and they were able to essentially go into the site, and what it did was run their profiles against the 2011 plans and premiums and show them how well those plans met their needs, but without having to go through the tools. So, Bob, you said the tools are easy to use, but think about going through that again and not having to enter any of that data because you entered it last year. So if your situation hasn't changed, you know, you're still married and you don't have any additional medical needs and, you know, whatever the case might be, you can actually access those results. So for anybody who's using the tools this open season, that information will be at your fingertips next open season. Yep. Did any of that make sense?
A ton. And you know, you're not the new kid on the block either. You've been doing this for a while.
We are proud to say that we have been working with the federal government since 1998. We were actually funded with a Small Business Innovative Research grant through the Department of Health and Human Services back in 1996 and 97. And those grants are terrific, but they helped us. The federal government was looking for software to help federal employees choose a health plan, and we were awarded that grant and have been working with the federal government in this capacity since then.
And they provide good feedback, bad? Well, you're not going to tell me about the bad. But
no, well, you know, there's always, you know, good, bad, and ugly. The vast majority of employees are most complimentary. I mean, we watch those satisfaction ratings. I watch them very carefully. And they're generally in the 90% range in terms of, you know, I was satisfied with Plan Smart Choice. It helped me make an informed healthcare choice. I would recommend it to a friend. You know, those kind of satisfaction measures, Bob. I think the user feedback that we get in verbal, written feedback is, gosh, had I known about this, I would have used this sooner. I would have used this in the past. And we've really been working through organizations like, you know, Fed News Radio, you know, other federal publications, the agency benefit officers, really trying to get the word out about the tools. And that's actually one of the reasons a couple of years ago we switched to making them free, because it really meant that more federal employees would have access to them. And, you know, so we've been really pleased to be able to do that. Anyway.
So the I guess we're going to appeal certainly to the people that are doing the final analysis.
The last minute shoppers.
But we're also going to appeal to the folks that after open season is closed and they talk in the office and somebody said, you know what I did? I saved X dollars. That person listening said, gee, I wish I could do it, but they could still use your system to determine how much they actually did lose, but get a jump on next year.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. As well as a new hire.
Oh, new hires, yeah. You know, for a new hire, you want to get covered under a plan the first available pay period, which that is the pay period after you're first hired. And, yeah, your site would be, I would think, very useful for those people to pick the best plan in a fairly short amount of time.
Correct. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A wise use of time. Yes.
Yeah, because I think a lot of particularly new hires, but also older people, just gravitate towards Blue Cross and don't really do any research.
Well, and I think there are actually two Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, the standard plan and the basic plan. And as the premiums associated with the Blue Cross Blue Shield standard plan have increased, you know, many, many federal employees are very happy with the level of service provided by Blue Cross Blue Shield. So they don't necessarily want to change carriers, but they can no longer afford on a monthly basis that particular premium. And they can then look to the basic plan, which provides, you know, may actually make their needs. You know, I use the analogy, you know, if you're a Ford driver, okay, you know, maybe you've bought Fords your entire life, and maybe for whatever reason you can't afford the latest, and I'm sorry, I live in the city, so I'm not a very good car person. You can't afford, you know, whatever the latest Ford top of the model is, but you still are very happy with that particular brand. You know, chances are Ford has another car at a price point that's going to meet your needs. So be it with Blue Cross Blue Shield, even if, you know, if you're happy with them as a carrier but can't afford the standard plan, the basic plan might meet your needs. And you know what, if you happen to be with any of the other carriers, you know, the same, Aetna provides different plan options, GEHA, APWU, United Health Plan, Kaiser has different levels of service. So again, you know, the high option may not be the one you can afford. There might be another option that keeps you within that brand, but certainly is adequate to meet your insurance needs.
All right, we have probably less than a minute to go here. Final comments?
Spend 10 minutes today, if you have not already done so, and go to www.plansmartchoice.com and really take a look at what medical plan options are available to you, and just make sure the one that you're in meets your needs, and there might be an alternative that does a better job from a cost-effective perspective for you.
Great. And for those of you all that didn't tune in at the beginning, you've been listening to Colleen Murphy, and Colleen is the president and CEO of Asperity. So thanks, Colleen.
Great, Bob. Thank you. And thanks,
maybe,
everybody.
Maybe we'll see you at the OPM conference in June.
Oh, that would be terrific. Terrific. That would be great.
Okay, great.
Okay, John, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty. Hopefully we'll have a smooth transition now. Al, is Al on the phone? Al? Nope, okay. Al is coming on the phone, and it's Al Schubert, and he's the vice president of, vice president, managed care and health policy for VSP Vision. Al's been on the show, like Colleen, ever since we started 5 years ago, and oftentimes he's here, but he is in California, and it's a little bit of a commute just to do this show for half an hour. So, Al, you there? No, Al's coming. John, you're there, right?
I can hear his footsteps coming down this corridor in California. He's in Northeast California somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Sacramento,
yeah,
I don't know. One of those
Sacramento
towns.
Or above.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Vision and dental plans, for that matter, have been wildly popular since they were introduced a number of years ago to federal employees and retirees. When they were first introduced, the first open season, the OPM expected 250,000 federal employees and retirees to sign up, and the first year they got 750,000 right off the bat. And they continue to be very popular. If you're looking to explore either a dental or vision plan, the place to go is opm.gov. Click on the insurance page and you'll see where the 7 dental plans and 3 vision plans. Al
is going to tell us about his. Good morning, Al.
He's there.
Morning.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. I'm visioning you right across from me and John, and good to see you.
Yeah. Likewise. I'm sorry that I can't be there in person, but I'm glad that we were able to connect this morning.
Well, we're glad too. So, Al, what changes were made in the plan? What should the last minute shopper look at? And again, we spoke earlier. I don't know if you listened earlier, but while today ends open season, tomorrow begins the shopping season for next open season, as well as the opportunity for soon to be hired feds or somebody in the queue or somebody actually just starting. They have the opportunity to pick, even though it's not open season.
Absolutely. You know, just like I can't remember if it was last year that things were extended.
It was last year, I think.
Yeah, and during that additional time frame, we ended up getting even more enrollment. And throughout the year, we ended up getting additional enrollees and annuitants, where there were life changes and other qualifying events. And so we were real pleased with the enrollment that we received last year. And I think it boils down to coverage. The coverage is just so high, I know, in previous years, because our coverage, in answer to your question, has not changed. The coverage remains one of the highest benefit levels we offer in the entire country, and that's, you know, covering 1 in 6 Americans, 55 million people. And I think it's because of the coverage. I think it's the quality of the care that participants and annuitants receive. And fortunately, VSP is the leader in those categories.
And not only that, but I remember you saying this last year and the year before, that when you have an eye exam, it's almost an exam into the rest of your body, that somebody, an ophthalmologist, optometrist, is looking. They can pick up trends that are not good before they become worse. Didn't you tell me that?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why this is such an important benefit to your overall health care. People don't normally associate vision care with the overall health of their body. And the eye is just so fascinating, because the reason why an optometrist or an ophthalmologist dilates a person is in order to see the back of the retina. And the back of the retina is the only place in the human body to where that optometrist can see vascular health. He or she can actually see movement of blood through those tiny capillaries in the back of the retina, and therefore be able to ascertain if you have hypertension, if you might be diabetic or pre-diabetic, or myriad other potential conditions. And you hit the nail on the head, Bob, when you indicated that you can see symptoms of these issues before any other symptoms, and get them treated early and hopefully knock them out, particularly in the case of type 2 diabetes, which type 2 diabetes can be beat. It can be overcome through weight management, eating management, if you will, and just taking care of your body.
As we age, isn't it wise to get an annual eye exam as opposed to, you know, every couple years or just whenever you need a new prescription?
It is. I'm still a very young man, but it's important for people all of our ages to get an annual eye exam. But eye care is even more interesting, because as we all age, our eyes tend to deteriorate over time, and that's why the preponderance of getting glasses increases, or the frequency of getting glasses or contact lenses increases as you get older. At the same time, that's underscored because of what we were just talking about, and being able to diagnose any potential symptoms of chronic conditions coming down the pike. So it's almost a twofer. Most of the people that enroll for the FedVip program for vision are enrolling because they or their children need eyeglasses or contact lenses. But we are also fortunate that the type of business that we are in emphasizes so strongly the medical component, the diagnostic component, as well as the treatment component of eye care.
Yeah, for example, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been told by my eye doctor that if glaucoma, if caught early enough, is highly treatable.
That is absolutely the case, and it's even more so relative to other diseases. I mentioned if a person happens to be pre-diabetic, so you have elevated glucose levels, or you have other symptoms of diabetes, you don't have full onset diabetes, but through something as simple as a few minutes of an eye examination, it can be determined whether or not you may be pre-diabetic or have diabetes, and that would allow you to do something about it and move forward, certainly more cost effectively, but in some cases change your entire life, your outlook on life, and your ability to see. What we maybe have not talked about in the past are the advanced stages of these diseases. And one of the complications of advanced diabetes is blindness. In this country, the majority of people that still go blind today go blind as a result of diabetes, glaucoma, and one other insidious disease called macular degeneration. And those three incidences are responsible for the majority of new cases of blindness today.
But if you get an annual eye exam, chances are it will be caught early enough to treat it. Is that correct or incorrect?
That is absolutely correct. And that's the importance of, because the FedVit program has so many children enrolled as dependents and so forth, having kids get eye exams at the earliest possible stage is really important. So you bring up a good point.
Besides these exams, the VSP program offers what? I mean, eyeglasses, eye exams.
It does.
And it, not only, I don't want to talk about the non-feds, but sometimes feds have friends that don't work for Uncle. You market outside the federal sector as well.
We do. We are fortunate to cover or have a contract with over 50% of all Fortune 500 corporations throughout the country. But even though oftentimes we are known for those very large contracts like FedVip and other large employers, over 80% of those 55 million people that I mentioned a few minutes ago are covered by employers of less than 500 employees. And we write business to employers all the way down to two employees, so mom-and-pop grocery stores and those kinds of things, because vision benefits in the overall scheme of things aren't nearly as expensive as even dental plans, but certainly just a fraction of the cost of major medical plans. And I think it really gets back to that eye care coverage that we were talking about, and the fact that the quality of care delivered by the doctors that VSP contracts with, about 27,000 doctors throughout the country, is really the differentiator as it relates to your question.
All right, let me ask you a two-pronged question. One, let's say I'm a Fed and I don't have a vision plan. What should I look for? And if I'm a Fed and I have a vision plan, what should I be looking for?
Two good questions, or one good question, two parts. If you don't have a vision plan, I think that what we were talking about just now is really the motivator. One is it's just good, smart care for you and your kids to get annual eye exams, and it's very easy to do that through the FedVip program. The payroll deductions or other deductions are extremely simple and can be worked out directly with the agency where the employee is employed. And to the second question, if you do not have a vision program, if you have a vision program, is to use it. There's an interesting portion of our business where people, maybe not on an annual basis, but hopefully every 2 years, will use their vision benefit. And that's always something that has been interesting because of all the good reasons that we have been talking about in order to get that eye exam and to get your glasses. I've mentioned a couple of times that the coverage is so good and that the benefit level of the federal employees is one of the highest we have in the country. And that is for good reason. Employees and annuitants are using their own funds in order to fund the costs of the program. And so that comes back to wanting to take advantage of that buying power. And glasses are expensive. Contact lenses are expensive. They average in the $500 and $600 range, and our programs offer savings in the $400, $450, $500 range when you take into consideration those payroll deductions and the benefit that you're deriving as a result of using the benefit.
Yeah, and if you're a contact lens wearer, usually you're replacing those contacts once a year, getting a new supply, including having the annual exam when you go sign up for new contacts as well.
That's correct.
So you're doing it on an annual basis anyway, whereas maybe if you also, typically, if you wear glasses, you may keep a pair of glasses for several years, but contacts is a quick turnaround.
That's correct. There is a quick turnaround, and you're also getting a very solid benefit as well. And Bob, to both parts of your question, the other thing that if I were a Newton or a federal employee that I would be asking is, gosh, is this a benefit that I'll be satisfied with? And we run our own concurrent satisfaction surveys. In addition to OPM runs their own satisfaction surveys with their benefits contract. And in both cases, the satisfaction of the vision plan in general and the satisfaction of VSP in particular is superior. And so we're really happy with that in the overall scheme of things.
Great. Now, let's cater to somebody like me that needs a pair of glasses in the car, and I need one at the office, and I need one at the house because I'm always misplacing the only one that I ever had, and so I have to have one everywhere. If I'm in the plan, would that cover second and third? I don't necessarily need to go and have an exam, but I need another pair or two. Is that covered in the plan? I don't know why I thought of that other than me.
The benefits today cover the supply of contacts that we were just talking about or a pair of glasses in a given year. And so because we've had this contract, I guess, are we entering now our fifth year of the seven-year OPM contract? And as a result, people that need multiple pairs of glasses that want to get them paid for through this benefit will simply get a pair of glasses this year, sign up again next year, and get another pair of glasses and so forth. But to the person like yourself that maybe wants two pair of glasses in a given year, the first pair of glasses would be covered, or contact lenses, would be covered by the plan, and then there is a discount on any additional glasses if you want to get that eyewear in the same year. It's not nearly 100% coverage, which FedVIP employees have for the first pair, but it's still you're able to get some value out of the benefit.
Yeah, I've noticed for the glasses wearer that don't wear contacts, just wear glasses, that unlike years ago, it seems, the fashion in glasses changes where you may not actually need a new prescription, but you say, my glasses look out of date, so I want a more fashionable pair. So it seems to me there's the potential for more turnover there as well.
There is. We are absolutely a fashion-conscious group of people, talking about all, all Americans. And at the same time, oftentimes our challenge is getting Americans to understand that there's also a medical component to your eye care, similar to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. But there's certainly no denying that there is a fashion component, and all 27,000 of our doctors who practice in roughly 40,000 locations throughout the country have access to purchase any of the available frames on the market. Fashion, the highest fashion frames, the least expensive, things that are in between. Fortunately, they have access to purchase anything that's available on the present market.
All righty. Now, just I know it's hard to say what premiums are, but could we just run through, let's take one, somebody beginning career, single, no dependents, and then we'll take somebody married, and then somebody married with dependents. And does age have a factor in pricing the premiums?
It does, but not in the FedVIP contract. other than when it's tiered, you know, for employee only and employee plus dependent and so forth. In our benefit and our pricing, there isn't higher pricing, for example, for annuitants, which obviously are older than those that are in the active population. We have priced it to where the pricing is the same all across the board. And so that provides, a value at both ends of the spectrum. It's a value to the senior, to the annuitant, and it's also a value to the child. And the nature of this particular contract is that everyone is still getting those top-of-the-line benefits. They tend to have very high satisfaction, as I reported a few seconds ago, and they're able to access the largest network in the country for vision care.
One thing we should mention is if you're a retired Fed and you've never been in a vision or dental program for that matter, you don't have to meet any five-year requirement as you do as an employee to carry your health insurance. You can sign up in any open season as a retired Fed for the first time in a vision or dental program. So, and I bet there are retirees out there who don't realize that. They said, oh, I wasn't in one as an employee, so I can never be in one as a retiree, and that's absolutely not true. You can get in for the first time.
Exactly. And not only can you get in, but the access that you would have to providers, for example, for an organization like VSP, our average distance to a VSP optometrist or ophthalmologist in the entire country is just 2.5 miles in urban and suburban areas and 8 miles in rural areas. So we are fortunate to have such a strong provider network throughout the country. And as I do benefit fairs at the different agencies, not only in D.C., but in different parts of the country, to annuitants and active employees that are asking questions, two of the biggest questions they ask is, how good is the coverage, and where would I seek care? How close are the doctors? And with the doctors being on average just 2.5 miles from an annuitant or employee's home in an urban and suburban area and 8 miles in rural areas, we are fortunate to get a lot of those people to choose VSP.
Would the coverage include something like LASIK, or would it include something that you had to have done, the glaucoma, whatever it is, operation? Does it cover that as well?
Typically, the medical treatment of the eye, so the glaucoma treatment, the if you had a cataract remove and so forth, would be covered by your major medical plan. We, VSP, would still cover the routine eye examination that might identify the fact that you could have an advancing condition. Fortunately, the preponderance of people, the majority of people, do not have an advancing condition and simply just get a pair of eyeglasses or contact lenses. But the medical treatment of the eye, our doctor might see symptoms that require advanced treatment and then would make a referral into your major medical plan in order to have that taken care of. And particularly in the case of cataract surgery, that also means that your prescription might change after cataract surgery, which means you would need another pair of glasses. So, of course, then our optometrist or ophthalmologist would then get back involved and provide the new prescriptive eyeglasses or contact lenses.
Okay. Great answer. And in the final analysis, how would you appeal to somebody that says, I don't need that? You know, when I was 25, which was a number of years ago, and 30, I don't need any of this stuff. And then 35, 40, I had a harder time reading the classifieds, but no, I don't need any glasses. And I went to the doc and I says, am I getting old? Is it? He says, nah, you're whatever it is isn't as elastic as it once was. Yeah, I was getting old, but you know, I associated glasses with being old. So what would be your advice to somebody that maybe was as vain as I was years ago?
I think the key really is to remember that vision coverage plays such an important role in overall health. I don't know about how the two of you feel, but I don't particularly enjoy going to a medical doctor. You know, you're being sometimes, you know, probed and, you know, blood drawn and those kinds of things, and it could be a negative experience. But oftentimes with vision care, because you are going in order to get either a new pair of glasses or get fitted for contact lenses and that type of thing, yet the doctor is still doing and performing some pretty good medical care in order to diagnose any particular conditions or recognize symptoms of chronic conditions. The recommendation I would have in answer to your question is that vision coverage really plays such an important role in overall health. Also, we are fortunate that VSP offers the best coverage and ranks highest in customer satisfaction on a national basis. And so those are maybe independent decisions. The first decision is, okay, do I need glasses or not? A lot of people, myself included, were in denial until I got into my 40s, and like you, my arm was no longer long enough to hold the paper or the restaurant menu or the book far enough away from my face. So, you know, I knew, well, it's time. I have to get glasses. And then fortunately in VSP, I found that very strong access on a national basis to doctors that are community-based and live and work where I live and work. And then I found that because I work for the company, the vision benefits are quite good, very similar to the FedVip program for federal employees and annuitants. And at the back end, the fact that satisfaction is so high, not only with vision programs in general, but with VSP in particular as the best in the country.
All right, one last question, and hopefully please a short answer because we're running up against the deadline. Is there any harm done for somebody, again, like me, that didn't do it until I had to do it? Should I just do it earlier even if I don't think I need to do it, or do I do myself a disservice?
You know, because of the diagnostic component of a routine eye exam, it's always better to do it earlier than later, particularly for kids. At benefit fairs, I get asked that question all the time. And even though kids may not wear glasses or be ready for contact lenses yet, they can still benefit from a comprehensive eye exam and to make sure that medically nothing else is happening that's associated with your eyes.
Thank you, Al. And thanks for getting up so early and being with us. And look forward to hearing you or seeing you next year.
I'll look forward to that as well. I'd love to be back.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, John.
All righty, John. We got less than 1 minute. Maybe I'll ask this another time because you've been there, done it as a Fed, you know, from the early stages of your career to the latter and everything in between, kids, no kids, et cetera. So anyway, we'll save that for another day. Final comments, and then we got to get off the air.
Yes, your eyes are also the window to your soul.
Oh, my goodness.
We didn't get into that aspect of it. Not just your physical well-being, but apparently your soul, I'm told by my optometrist.
Thanks, and we'll be back next week for the 5th anniversary show. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.